Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to go through verses 1 through 6, and we're going to expound what the Word of God says to us this evening, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your awesome power, your grace, and your mercy, and your loving kindness. Oh God, I'm praying now, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Let No One Deceive You. Let no one deceive you. So let's begin in this chapter, and it reads, Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means that the man of sin is what? Revealed, unless there's a coming and a falling away. I need you to understand this verse right up here. Unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. This is what's taking place right now in our culture. Many who started the race is falling away. Jesus said that would be a sign of his return. They're falling away. They started out the race, and now they're out there back in the world. And the son of perdition who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. See, all this hasn't taken place yet. It's in the near future. They're about ready to bust out the temple, the third temple. Verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. So, once again, the Thessalonians here in Thessalonica, they were thinking that Jesus was coming during their time. And then as time went by, they started seeing their loved ones die off. And so that concerned them. Some of them started to doubt. Paul had to write a second letter to explain that there's a prophetic significance to the future, that Jesus would come in the future, not during their time, but that we're to rejoice, to know that God was still with them regardless. How many believe that despite of your condition, God is with you? He's been with us since birth. Can I get an amen? So let's break this down as we go through this evening and just ask God to just give you the understanding of what's taking place in the day that we live in. Because right now, there's false teachers. In our school system, starting from grade school all the way through the college system, they're atheists, they're humanists. They have removed the Word of God out of the public square. There's no longer the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. And I'm telling you, when you remove God, then your nation becomes apostate. We were founded on the Word of God. Our forefathers that came, that wanted religious liberty, they came because they were under the tyranny of England. And at that time, it was a Roman Catholic tyranny. But they wanted to come here so that they can be liberated, so that they can understand the Word of God and preach the Word of God. You see, when Martin Luther, he nailed the theses on the door of the Catholic Church, he said, the just shall live by faith. And when they understood that it's not about religious jargons and the do's and don'ts and all these repetitious prayers. They understood that you could have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they needed to come here to form this nation. And now this nation, after what? We've been here now 350 years maybe? Close to it? 250. Yeah, but if you go back even further, there's a time before we became a nation. Because you got to remember, not only England came here, but the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria came here too, right? So they came back a little earlier, in the 1500s. But they came here for freedom. They came here because God led them here. God knew already in his foreknowledge that this nation would be a city on the hill that would bring the word of God to all the world. And God's been using America for this. God's raising us up so that we could be a light amongst our family and friends. Can I get amen? But we are living now in a time of deception. And one of the key players in the deception right now as we speak is Hollywood. Hollywood wants to deceive you, wants to let you know it's okay to fornicate, it's okay for adultery, it's okay to murder and kill and steal, it's okay for drug use, it's okay to go in and out of bedrooms, it's okay to do all these things that God says don't do. Because if you learn to obey God, you will have a life of liberty and freedom to worship and praise him and to serve him. But Satan knows his time is short. And today there was the biggest ruckus ever when the two judges that President Trump picked that went against the Indiana abortion rule, they abolished abortion, and the Democrats came on the hill and started rebuking the judges. This is the time that we live in right now. You're either with God or you're against God. Can I get amen? You're either for him or against him. There's no gray area. There's no in between. You're either for him or against him. And how many are with him? Oh, come on. We have to start to learn and learn quickly the things that God loves and the things that God hates. Forget about what you learned as a child and what maybe your parents showed you or what you learned in school. This is a time now to unlearn some things and relearn some things through the Word of God. And God has given us that opportunity to do so. So let's start with verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, saints, this second letter to the church in Thessalonica begins just like 1 Thessalonians. Paul was the head of the missionary team that had brought the gospel to that city. And Silas is called a prophet and was highly regarded in the Jerusalem church. And so the book of Acts mentions that Silas was a prophet. He prophesied. I shared with you last week that God now has called us all to be prophets. Amen. Acts 15:32. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And so Paul had chosen Silas to accompany him on this second missionary journey. And then in chapter 15 of the book of Acts, it says, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. In other words, they knew that God is sending you two. So I'm sure they laid hands on them. They probably gave them food and clothing, whatever, to take on their journey. But off they went. Sometimes God will take you to a place that you've never been before, but yet he's leading you and he's guiding you. Can I get amen? Amen. Never think for one moment that whatever's happened in your life at this moment, it's not by happen chance, it's not by coincidence, it's the will of God and it is the providence of God for your life. Can I get amen? Amen. Know that he's in total control. No, this is not time to worry. This is the time to have the shield of faith and say, God, here I am. Use me, Lord. Use me, God. So Saint Silas is mentioned in the salutation of both letters to the Thessalonians, and he worked with Timothy in Corinth. Look at this in 2 Corinthians. This is for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy was not yes and no, but in him was yes and amen. In other words, they didn't say no, they said, use me. And when God calls you on an assignment, never say no. Can I get amen? Amen. Say, God, use me. If this is your will, God, use me. And listen, he'll get the glory, and then he will bless you. God's all about blessing. I hope you know that. And so at this point, saints, all three of these men were at Corinth. And Acts 18:5 says, look at this. It says, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. He was always led by the Holy Ghost and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. They came there for purpose. I hope you know that. To let them know about the death, burial, and resurrection. To let them know that they too can have eternal life. And so, saints, the Thessalonica was the capital and the largest city of the Roman province in Macedonia. So the most important Roman highway extending from Rome to the Orient went through Thessalonica. So that was a highway of trade and commerce. It was a great place to set up camp, to testify, because there was people coming into the city, coming and going. And so whoever was there at that time, it was God's providence that they would be right there when Paul and Silas and Timothy were there preaching the word. And so the highway along the city's busiest seaport made Thessalonica one of the wealthiest and most flourishing trade centers in the Roman Empire. Thessalonica was a free city, meaning it allowed self-rule, and it was totally exempted from most of the restrictions placed by the Roman other existing cities. So it was almost like our country almost, where they didn't have all these dictators overseeing them. So this is why God had sent Paul, because there was less restriction there where the Holy Spirit could have its way. But once the fire took off, that's when the persecution came. And that's what happens. When you start doing a mighty work for God, look out, old Slewfoot is on your trail. We just sang that song. He is on my trail. Oh yeah, he's on your trail. He don't want you to excel. He don't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to achieve. He doesn't want you to persevere. He wants you to throw in the towel. If he could get you off course, he's done his job. So Paul had planted the church when he and his companions had visited Thessalonica on his secondary journey. Now, we're going to see in Acts 17 that these Thessalonian believers, they had strong faith despite persecution. They had endured. So 2 Thessalonians gave you a glimpse, but if you peel back and look back to the book of Acts, you'll see more of their faith. And we're just going to go through this quickly, and then I want to get to where we need to go tonight. Acts 17, 1 through 10. Now, look at this. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them. And for 3 Sabbaths, that means 3 weeks, Sabbaths were their Saturdays, reasoned with them from the scriptures. In other words, they didn't come with enticing words. They came with the power and the word. Can I get amen? Explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. Now, a lot of them never heard that. They were like, wow, what is this? But see, the anointing was upon them. And God was giving them ears to hear and eyes to see. Look at this. Verse 4, and some of them were persuaded. So they were persuaded because of the power of God. And a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. So he started getting momentum. He started getting steam. I mean, God was working. That's what God wants to do in our life. He wants to work with us. But the Jews were not persuaded, becoming envious, and took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, Notice mob. There was a mob then. There's a mob now. Set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. So God was on the move, and guess what? Here comes old Slewfoot. So now, verse 8, when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." What did that mean? That means there were souls being saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, turning from idols, turning to the true and living God. And so these people in that region, their life were being turned upside down. And people saw it. And so they thought, man, this is either a good thing or this is a bad thing. They couldn't comprehend it. So this is how they explained it. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and all of them are acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king. So in their unsaved mind, I'm talking about these Jews that saw this. They're unregenerate. They're not saved. They looked at it through the natural, not through the supernatural. So, King Jesus? So right away, they're coming here to set up a new kingdom. They thought this Jesus would come and rule no differently than what happened in Bethlehem, no differently than what happened in Jerusalem. Now they're in another part of the region of the world. It's the same God that we serve, just another devil over there. Can I get an amen? And so now, verse 8, and they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they had heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, and they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Why did they go in there? To preach the word. And so, just a recap now the last chapter in 1 Thessalonians, it says right here, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Listen, when the unbelieving world sees your faith in action, there's really nothing they can say. They see your life as a transformed life. They see you at one time, you were walking in darkness, now you're walking in God's marvelous light. And we proclaim him. How many proclaim Jesus wherever you go? Amen. Why? Because we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God, look, from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the what? The wrath to come. The wrath to come. So now, let's go now to verse 2 in chapter 2. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. So some of them thought that maybe Jesus came already. You got to remember, there was no iPhone, no internet. There was no voicemail. There was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. And so, you know, it was candle at night and the sun in the day. That was it. They didn't have our technology, so, you know, maybe Christ came already. So Paul often would begin his letters with a greeting of grace and peace. Grace is God's unmerited favor bestowed upon sinful people. And by calling God our Father, Paul presented God as the Father of all believers. So the young Thessalonian church experienced God's grace and peace during a time of trial. Their faith got tried. After many of them started getting saved, Here comes the trial. Here comes where their faith is tested. How many can recall when you first got saved, how your faith was tested? Oh, come on. Right away. The devil said, I want this one back. And he comes with a full onslaught. He comes thick. He comes with minions. He wants to bring you back. He's upset that you left his camp. Why? To do them damage. And so this strengthened their faith and made them an example to the rest of the believers in other cities across the empire. Look how Paul wrote to the Corinthian church regarding this, about not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled. Look at this. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by who? Him, Jesus, in all utterance and knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. You see, there has to be evidence inside. You have to be born from above. You see, God will confirm the Holy Ghost in you. Once the Holy Ghost comes inside you, he will confirm it with your own soul. Then the evidence starts to be demonstrated. Not overnight, but during a sanctified process, and it's a continual sanctification. It's a lifetime procedure. Can I get an amen? None of us ever arrive. I hope you know that. If you think you have arrived, think again. I've heard many young Christians, man, I got it all now. I already got that. And those are the ones that fall away. Because they never dug deep in the roots of God. They never went deep. They didn't want discipleship. They didn't want to hear spiritual authority or accountability. They're like free lofters, and they're on their own. Unfortunately, it's like that. Look at verse 7. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end. Isn't that something? Listen, when the archangel blasts the shofar, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up. He's going to confirm it right then and there. He's already confirmed in your soul because you're changed. And you got the Holy Ghost living inside you. And you got love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, goodness, the fruit of the Spirit. You remember how you used to roll? You used to roll contrary to that. Who will also confirm to you the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say this with me. God is faithful. One more time. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son. You weren't called to the fellowship of Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. You were called into the fellowship of his Son. We are now part of his family, Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that something to just confirm that God is with us? Now, this is where I want to go in this message tonight. As we go to verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes what? First. That's right. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, how many of it's called the Olivet Discourse? Okay, let me just break it down for you. When Jesus was with his disciples, they were on the Mount of Olives. And one of the questions that came is, when will the end come? So we see here that Paul's writing a letter to the Thessalonians and Thessalonia that, wait a minute, these things first have to take place before Jesus returns. And so they were watching with their own eyes family members that they had to bury. And Jesus had not come yet. And so Paul had to write this second letter to say, wait a minute, these things first have to come. And when they do start to happen, look up, for you, then your redemption draws nigh. And so they didn't understand fully. They understood partly. But as time went on, we now could understand a little more fully what was taking place back then and why God had delayed. You got to remember, 1,000 years is but one day to the Lord. So 2,000 years have gone by, and that's only 2 days to the Lord. Why? Because he lives in a realm that there's no clocks. There's no time in eternity. You don't have to go, man, it's time to go home. I'm getting tired. Man, I'm hungry. When is this preacher going to stop? It's not going to be like that. We're going to be in the new bodies. Can I get an amen? So the Olivet Discourse is where he breaks it down and he lets them know. And so when we read this, God's going to open up our understanding to see this is the time he's talking about. Because now it's all converging. There's a convergence right now. You see, they were getting little things bit by bit, but after 2,000 years, now all the prophecies are becoming fulfilled. So let's go there. In Matthew 24, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Now, notice they asked, when shall the end come? The first thing Jesus said, take heed that no one what? Deceives you. That's the first thing. Why? Because if the devil can get in your head, that's all he needs to do is get in your head and then all of a sudden, whoa, he takes you right off course. Right off course. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is what? Not yet. It's not yet. Now look at this. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. Now, for the past 2,000 years, it wasn't until the 1800s where things were documented around the world. But man, there has been some severe famines, especially in the Asian African areas. And there's still famines there. But what we're seeing today now is the pestilences. And now there's what? 11 have died in the U.S. with the coronavirus. And it's spreading. It's going to still spread. But you need to know that God is with us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. God is watching over his. And pestilence is a type of airborne diseases. It comes from the animals. And so when you look at a coronavirus, I think it's something 19, COVID-19. It's a strain of a type of flu. But if you were to look at it under a microscope, these are living organisms. They're alive. They're little tiny little animals, which comes from the animals. And so Revelation said that it would take a quarter of the world of population away. Listen, we're not getting the true news from China. I hope you know that. Just imagine, from what I understand, they're burning bodies every day. Earthquakes. We've been seeing earthquakes. And if I should have brought this chart and I forgot to post it up. But if you were to look at the past earthquakes from 50 years ago to now, it's like the chart went up this way. Periodically, every day there's an earthquake somewhere. And they're coming in greater magnitude. 7, 8, 9, which is very destructive. Look at this. In various places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up in tribulation and kill you. Now, this is the twofold prophetic word. Because a lot of these things did happen in 70 AD. But the end didn't come yet, did it? Because we're still here. So this was twofold for them. And then God was showing the picture that would happen thousands of years later in our generation. and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. How many people dislike you because you're a Christian? Or is every one of them your friends? Listen, when you stand for righteousness, you're going to have people that will oppose you. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Look at the Jim Joneses of the world. How about the one that was not too long ago, about maybe 15 years ago? It was in Rancho Santa Fe. It was called the Heaven's Gate. Yeah, there was a gate, but that gate didn't open up to heaven. Can I get an amen? Many will there'll be deception. And one of the greatest deception right now is in our school system. They have removed God, so there is no authority in the school. There's nothing to be held accountable to. Be your own, and if it's time for you and your hormones are racing, we got things for you to protect yourself. And I think the greatest assault is if a young girl is under 18, we don't have to tell your mama or your papa. We'll just get it done for you. Wow. It's horrible. But Jesus said these things would happen. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Look at that. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. You know what blesses my heart when I see you on Sunday and Wednesday? It's because your hearts are not growing cold. They're growing hot for God. They're saying, man, I want more of God. I want more of the Lord. I want God to use me. It's that inwardness of God in you that's alive and well, that is giving you the desire to want more of him. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. You know who are those? Those are folks like you and I who are looking for Jesus' return, who is talking about his return, that are saying, God, you're going to come back and you're going to pick us up from this earth and take us home with you. That's right. That's us. That's you and I. Look at this. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So right now, it's going around the world. And praise God for internet, for technology, for satellite technology. It's going around the world. So now, God is just, I really believe we're just several years away. Maybe, we are the terminal generation that's going to see God. How many believe that? I believe that. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. This will take place when we're gone. You see, when we are out of the way, then guess what else is out of the way? The Holy Ghost. Then the false prophet and the Antichrist is going to have his way. Why? Because the world's going to be under deception, full-on deception. See, we see all these things taking place. We cannot be deceived because we got God in us. We have to get out of the way. And now the unbelieving world are going to... I could see what CNN, MSNBC, and Fox, all of them, you know what they're going to say when we're gone? The UFOs came and got them. They were abducted. I knew the UFOs were here. Oh, come on. They're going to come up with all kinds of answers. But they won't say Jesus came and got us. It's against everything they believe in. Look at this. Then those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetops go down to take everything of his house. And let him who is in the field not to go back to get his clothes. In other words, get gone. You just be gone. Now, this happened when the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem. He told them this would happen to them. But the end didn't come yet. Why? Because we're still here. So it's a twofold prophetic word. And let him who is in the field not go back to his clothes, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And I pray that your flight may be in winter or on the Sabbath. Wow. Look at else he says here. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until the time, till this time, nor ever shall be. That hasn't happened yet, saints. A tribulation that will be like no other, and there will never be one like that. Okay. So if you have a good internet signal and you got Wi-Fi, or maybe you have a Christian channel and one of either DirecTV or Cox Cable, don't miss out on Tuesday. Tom Horn's going to be on Sid Roth, and he's going to explain revelation regarding the wormwood, about the asteroid that NASA has, it's in NASA's website. The asteroid's coming, but they say, oh, it's going to just nick the earth. God woke them up at 2 in the morning and showed them the day, the year, April 13th, 2029. That thing's going to smack right into the Pacific Ocean, he said. And there's going to be a wave that's 100 feet high that's going to overtake California. It's going to be a tsunami like no other. That would be a tribulation like no other. According to the impact, if it hit the earth, it would be like 100 megaton bombs that hit Hiroshima and Nagasaki. 100 times. It would be an explosion that would darken the earth. That's why he went on to say that the sun will be darkened and the moon cannot give us light because of all the horrendous debris that would come from that. But see, that's a type of wrath. And the Bible says we're not appointed unto wrath. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, God, you know what I love about God? We're his children, right? So he tells us his secrets. Listen, if you love your wife and your wife loves your husband, there's nothing we keep from one another. We tell each other things, right? You can tell someone you love secrets. Well, God's telling us his secret. This is what's going to happen. And I'm going to get you out of the way. This is why you got to watch this documentary. It says, Before the Wrath. See, all this is not coincidence. This is all God's timing. It just comes. And when it comes, what do you do with it? Do you hide it? Well, I'm just going to throw it with my other DVDs. No. This is time to announce it. Say, hey, you know what? Something's coming. And so don't forget, his name is Tom Horn. Tuesday is the 9th. I think it's Tuesday the 9th or the 8th. All I know is Tuesday. And then from that point on, or you could always go to just sidroth.org. So it's the day before. It's on the 9th. Monday. Okay, then it's on Monday. All I know, it's on the 9th. That's okay. It'll be archived. You can go back to it any time. It's not like, oh, one time only. Just go back to it. Look at this. He said, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Come on, that hasn't happened yet, saints of God. And so he's going to rescue us from that day of wrath. And throughout scripture, it's called the day of the Lord. That if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, do not believe it. Why? For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That's us. We're the elect. And guess what? The devil wants to dupe us at times. But this is why you got to know your word. Always remember what they train the cashiers, like in Walmart and Target. They don't show a whole bunch of counterfeits. They study the original, so that they study it so thoroughly that when a counterfeit comes, they'll know, hey, that's a counterfeit. Know your word, saints. See, I've told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's here in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Man. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together immediately after the tribulation of those days. Look at that. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Something horrific is going to take place. These things haven't happened yet, saints, but they're about to. And the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. My goodness. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end to the other heaven. Man, see, God's going to get us out of the way. How many can't, man, I'm telling you, he's got our back. Now, Daniel picks it up, and we have time. We've got about another 10 minutes, amen? Look what Daniel said. See, Daniel, Matthew 24, and Revelation all fit like a glove. Can I get amen? Amen. Book of Daniel. God says, shut up the book, close the book. And then God was going to reveal it in his time. And that's our generation. Look at this. Now, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. When you put the math together, it's a 7-year tribulation. The streets will be built again and the wall, even in the troublesome times. Jerusalem has now been rebuilt. All the Jews that were scattered for 3,500 years is now back in the land. And we are a witness to that. God said, I will gather them from around the world and they will become a nation again. In 1948, it happened. It was before we were born, or some of you were already here. But that's when prophetic prophecy was fulfilled, that God will gather them back and they would become a nation. Did you know that's the only people in the entire world that still has its original language and their heritage? All these other countries have come and gone. All these nations have come and gone. Where's the Tishites and the Jebusites and the Amorites? Where are they got? Where are them at? And all the termites. The Jebusites, all them. They're gone. And yet the Jew is still here. Man, you know why? Jesus is a rabbi. I hope you know that. Listen, Jesus doesn't have the American flag draped around him. He's not a respecter of person. He's going to save those around the world. Can I get amen? Amen. He's going to get us out of the way so that he comes and judges the world once and for all. My. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who was to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end shall be with the flood till the end of the war. Desolations are determined. When it says the Messiah would be cut off, that was the crucifixion. He was cut off and he's coming again. How many believe he's coming again? Oh, yes, he is. He's coming again. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of that week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing an abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation was determined, is poured out on the desolate. Let me tell you, when God moves us out of the way, he's going to destroy all of Jerusalem too. Did you know in the book of Isaiah, It says in the last days, guess what Jerusalem would be called? Oh, this is some homework here. God said that Jerusalem in our day and time would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And right now, the capital, the homosexual capital in all the Middle East is in Tel Aviv. They're in sin right now. They're in deep sin. They're no different than San Francisco and Hillcrest and all these other places. Matter of fact, Benjamin Netanyahu celebrated this transgender that won this worldwide voice sing-off, and he brought this person into his office and celebrated it to the nation. They are in deep doo-doo with God. Come on, do a Google search. God said in the last days he was going to call Jerusalem Sodom and Gomorrah. See, when Jesus comes back, I hope you know that we're not going to live in that Jerusalem. We're going to live in the new Jerusalem that's going to come from heaven. We're not going to live in that old city that's rotten away. We're going to be in the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And that's where I want to be. How many know that's where I want to be? As we come in for a close, at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands and watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. See, even Jesus was quoting Daniel on the Mount of Olives. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. What book? The book of life. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So when Jesus said that the dead in Christ shall rise first, we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. So he's going to remove all the believers out of the world. Then he's going to resurrect the unbelieving dead. And they will stand before God in the white throne judgment. And then they're going to be tossed into the lake of fire with the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet. All that's going to happen. My goodness. Look what it says in verse. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and forever. God is saying you and I who are living in this day and time, you know what it's all about? Winning souls to God. Amen. Winning a soul. Telling them to repent. Turn from your sin. Turn to God because Jesus is coming. And that's what's going to happen. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars. God looks at those who are winning souls like stars that shine forever. And many of you, I know, you guys are bold in your faith. You guys share. You guys teach. You guys raise up. That's what God wants from our life. It's as simple as that. And look at this. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Come on, just for one moment. Just go. Mankind's been here for 6,000 years. But 120 years ago, we were still on horse and buggy. And now, 120 years later, we're flying around the world in 5 hours on a jet. The speed, when we went to visit the battleship Midway, we went into the radio room. And that radio room had all kinds of these gadgets, man, with these buttons that look so old. And one of the guys that were there that was sharing the stories, they said, you know, all this information and all these rooms that you see in here. We went into the radio room, the war room, all these different rooms. He goes, all that information that's there then is now on your iPhone. Come on, they were doing Morse codes. That's how they warned each other through a Morse code. Now we can just Twitter. My goodness. We're there, saints. We're there. Knowledge has increased over the past, just over the past 120 years. We went from horse and buggy to nuclear war. All they had was rifles and guns and swords and knives. That was it. We close. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. So I'm going to close with this scripture because I want to be on time. But John wrote this. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will what? Persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will what? They will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. So don't get offended, saints of God. When you share your faith and you preach and you teach, and if they come against you, it's not because of you. Just remember, it's not about you. It's they don't know the one who was sent by God. Because they're of this earth. They don't understand heavenly things. So you just have to sow, plant, come by and water. But only God can give the increase. Can I get an amen? And let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you, God, for this wonderful chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, God. Lord, thank you, Lord, that even then, 2,000 years ago, they thought that Christ was coming for them, and yet Paul had to write that second letter just to give them confidence. Hang on, don't lose faith. Christ will come, and if he doesn't come in your time, he's still coming for you. You'll still be with him. And so I'm praying, God, that for us here that are listening to this message, Lord, that you would give us the confidence, you would give us the understanding, that you would reveal more truth to us, that you are coming, and you're coming soon. And Lord, thank you for this great salvation. Thank you for drawing us from darkness into your marvelous light. And now we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God by faith. And I'm praying that maybe someone's listening to this message and they've never given their heart to you. I pray this is a great opportunity right now that they would just repent of their sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and that you would do the miraculous in their life, that you would do something so special in their life that they would understand finally maybe what their parents or grandparents used to tell them about, that you would become real in their life and they would know without a shadow of a doubt that you have saved them. And so if you're listening to this message, we want to pray with you. Pray this prayer by faith and believe that God, he really does love you. And he wants to save you from this world that is soon to pass away. And you're gonna renovate all the whole entire world according to your word. And we're gonna live in the new Jerusalem where there is no more pain and no more sorrow. You're gonna wipe away every tear. And you're gonna give us unspeakable joy, because we will forever be in your presence. If that's you listening and you want all these things and you want God to save you from a horrible place, a place called hell, cry out right now. Ask God to come into your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.